it's time for Legally Served. Time to welcome in Attorney Franz Borghardt.
What's up, guys?
Nothing much. You look like you've got two eyes this morning.
I can see. The better to see. You know, justice requires two good
working
eyes.
Justice is supposed to be blind, sir.
I know. Well, I was pretty blind until last week. So, yeah, I'm glad to be back in the saddle. Except, you know, Brian, the funny thing is when you have head trauma, cataract removal surgery, they don't just work on the eye that's, like, broken. They then come back in 2 weeks later and fix the one that's working just fine.
Fix the one that ain't broken.
Yeah, they replace it with another lens. So I'll have one more, and then I'm done. So, dude, I'm so hyped up about today's topics. One, because one of the topics deals with something I actually have some firsthand familiarity with. I used to be on the ABC board. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I did not know that.
I served a tour on the ABC board. So that's one of the topics. And then the other topic we're going to talk about today, I'm just doing spoilers. I was a kid of the 80s.
Yeah.
I celebrate the entire catalog of Daryl Hall and Oates. Although I had to Google which one was which.
Oates has the mustache.
John Oates, the creepy mustache.
Yeah.
Although I think he shaved it.
Daryl Hall is the dirty blonde.
Oh, is he still dirty blonde? I don't know.
I don't know. Probably gray by now.
They had some really good songs. And now they're suing each other.
Yes. Do you want to start with that one?
Want to start with that one.
All right.
Oh.
It seems Daryl Hall and John Oates have lost that love and feeling, which is not a Hall & Oates song. So that's a terrible lead sentence. Who wrote this garbage? Scripps News. The former musical partners appear to be in the midst of some kind of litigious battle, but details on what prompted the discord are under tight wraps. What is known is that Hall filed the lawsuit against his former bandmate Oates in Nashville's Chancery Concert on November 16th, alongside a motion for a temporary restraining order, which the court granted the following day, with an effective date of November 30th. Court documents are under seal, but court records show the case as a contract or debt lawsuit. Details on the reason for the restraining order, however, are scant, though it could be used alongside this type of dispute, but economic interests, to keep economic interests separate.
My understanding, having deep dove into this, because I couldn't resist, they had a contractual relationship for a business venture. I don't know if it's music related or not. And Hall filed the suit to prevent Oates from basically selling off his interest in whatever that venture was. And so that would make sense with the lawsuit and the restraining order to stop the sale, the breach of the contract, so to speak. But weren't these guys, like, the best of friends?
One would assume.
Like, they did a whole bunch of songs together.
I mean, there was.
They were a thing.
Yeah.
Didn't they just concert together, like, a year ago?
Less than that, if I'm not mistaken. And, yeah, 5 decades, Franz. 5 decades worth of Hall & Oates out there. I mean, 4 or 5 hits, but 5 decades worth.
Well, they had more than 4 or 5 hits. Maneater. You Make My Dreams Come True.
Yeah.
Private Eyes.
Yeah.
Watching You.
One on One.
I hadn't even heard of that one. I'm sure they got a couple more in there.
They're like a seven-hit wonder.
That's the best one.
So now we're at 5. Like I said, 4 or 5
What did she say?
I can't go for that.
I can't go for that.
Yeah. No can do. So when something like this happens.
Get your hand out of my pocket.
It's
Oates.
When something like this happens, obviously what we're going to see is the end of this.
Not necessarily.
You don't think?
No. People kind of hug out things.
Okay.
One, I would imagine that these guys have. I haven't done the net worth search on either Hall or Oates, but I would venture to guess that both these guys are set. I would secondarily say that, you know, look. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Get your hand out of my pocket, Oates.
Okay, but after 5 decades together, I tell you what, we got to pause here. We'll pick this up, and then after that, we're going to talk about the Boyle and Roos situation a little bit on the back end of the segment. Right now, though, we got to break. Attorney Franz Borghardt, in for Legally Served. We're going to pivot in just a little bit over to a local story about the ABC board, about Boyle and Roos. It's a growing story, and I want to get Franz's legal opinion on it. But before we wrap up on the Hall & Oates story, I was asking you, Franz, if this lawsuit is going to be the end of this 5-decade partnership. And I asked it that way because it is a partnership. It's not a friendship.
They're in a band.
Bands break up. No, I understand that. But, like, they have been going on. Let me give you the quote from Daryl Hall. He says, "You think John Oates is my partner? He's my business partner. He's not my creative partner."
Oh.
"John and I are brothers, but we are not creative brothers. We are business partners. We made records called Hall & Oates together, but we've always been very separate, and that's a really important thing for me." So now if you've got a lawsuit that comes into this business-only relationship, what's the benefit of continuing to do business in the future? And, oh, by the way, this separation is not new. The tentacles of the unnamed sources for Mornings with Brian Haldane let me know this morning. They did the Our Lady of the Lake Gala over a decade ago at the River Center and hated each other. Everyone who saw them off stage could see it.
Was it a good gala?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
As a listener,
they had different dressing rooms. They never talked. As soon as they're off stage, they go their separate. They go on stage, they play, they go off stage, and they go their separate ways.
I'm okay with that. I don't need them to love each other.
Okay, but if there's no love, they're not getting back together after a lawsuit.
Do we need another Hall & Oates concert?
No.
If I want to listen to Hall & Oates music whenever I want to,
yeah,
there's a way for me to do that.
Oh, you're bringing up a good point. You're talking about Call It Oates. Have you ever heard of Call It Oates?
What's that?
Oh, this is great. Franz, this is beautiful. Hey, allow me just 60 seconds of indulgence here.
Like a Garth Brooks calling?
Not like calling Baton Rouge. No. There is a hotline you can call.
Oh, tell me more.
There is a hotline you can call when you have to hear Hall & Oates at a moment's notice. When you need your fix of Hall & Oates. Alondra, turn up the phone pot. Let's do this real quick. Turn up a little bit. All right.
This is the thing.
Oh, no. How do I spell out Oates on the phone?
Welcome to Call & Oates, your emergency Hall & Oates helpline.
Emergency.
To hear one-on-one, please press 1.
The word emergency?
To hear Rich Girl, please press 2. To hear Maneater, please press 3.
Let's do Maneater.
To hear Privatize, please press 4.
Listen to this. Manning this thing 24/7, holding a cassette deck up to it. This is a real thing. 719-260, the Call & Oates hotline, emergency hotline.
Wow.
All right, that's enough of that.
So they're still going to make money together, whether they tour or not.
Well, I hope that phone number doesn't cost anything, because guarantees can be mad if I just call the toll
whatever.
Number.
It's a dollar something a minute.
Yeah, probably.
Speaking of low quality, can we talk about Boiling Roof?
Yes. Let's pivot right now. Let's first hope that Call & Oates does not go away.
Oh, please.
So, after that, all right. The story per WBRZ: the owner of Boiling Roof restaurant is accusing a member of the parish council of discrimination and intimidation. Maurice Walker told our news partners at WBRZ that his problems have been ongoing for 4 years. His business has been cited for violations involving alcohol consumption and zoning concerns. Walker alleges that council member Denise Amoroso, who is slated to join us on Friday, by the way, Denise Amoroso has been treating his business unfairly, and that it's led to his trouble with the ABC board, parish attorney's office, and the planning and zoning commission. Quote, "It's not just my livelihood and my kids' livelihood. It's the employees who work here, my bartenders, my hostesses, my servers." At issue here, if I'm recalling, because this has been a story that's been ongoing for some time now, they're just not just violating noise ordinances, but they're actively thumbing their nose to anything that would go along with
this. This is the business, if I'm not mistaken, that's located Sherwood and Corsi?
Corsi. Technically, they're on Corsi.
But that's her district, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's a commercial area, right? Is there a residential area?
There is residence behind. Lake Sherwood Subdivision is directly behind it.
Right, but they're not the only commercial business there.
They're the only ones hosting loud concerts at
night. I mean, Walgreens is not doing loud concerts.
Walgreens is across the street, and the CVS is empty now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the CVS is, well, I was going to say soon to be a Spirit Halloween store, but Halloween's over.
So we have two separate, just so that we're clear for the listeners, so that those listeners out there, the Brad the Builders, the Po' Boy Troys of the world, they can separate. We have a noise ordinance issue, zoning, and then we have the ABC issues, which are liquor, generally serving to minors or not paying your taxes.
Yes.
I'm not saying these are their issues, but these are the things that the ABC board deals with.
Mm-hmm.
Your licensing, not paying your sales tax, and then selling to minors.
Yes.
Those are generally the so we're clear. Okay, well, let's talk about the zoning one first. Loud noise, loud music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're breaking the law, they're breaking the law. Now, these things are hard to prove because the zoning laws for loud music, it's like by, if I'm not mistaken, it's by decibels. Yeah, I mean, you guys are radio people, right?
Yes.
Decibels. So all you have, all it takes is one crotchety neighbor to be like, you're playing that music loud. Now, you said that they're thumbing their nose at it. What does that mean?
That means that the cops have been called numerous times to get them to pipe down a little bit, get it to turn down the volume or respect the hours with which they're supposed to be operating the outdoor music. And it was last week there was a story about how an attorney with Baton Rouge resigned over this fact, he got caught on microphone saying BRPD just does not care. They don't care and no one can make them care except for Sharon Westenbroom and Chief Paul. So it's not like the police haven't been called before. It's not like they haven't called this into question
before.
It's
not that they don't care. I think it's more of a, we've got real big issues in Baton Rouge crime, and noise ordinances are not top priority. I mean, it's not an I don't care, I think. I think it's really a, where do you want my resources?
Yeah.
Right? Now, to be clear, this is a African-American-owned business, right?
It is, and that's going to play into this because their attorney is Rhetoric Ron Haley.
Ronald Haley.
Is it Rhetoric Ron or is it Hyperbole Haley?
I love Ronald Haley. He's a good guy.
He's great for a soundbite.
So
he's great for a pull quote.
Here's the thing. The noise ordinances are things that we can address pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Cut and dry is, are you selling booze to minors or no?
That is a bigger issue that we'll pick up on the backside. We're coming up on a break. Check traffic. Check your money now. He's Attorney Franz Borghardt. We will continue Legally Served as part of Mornings with Brian Haldane next. You're listening to WBRP, your listen at work legal advice. We got Legally Served going on with Attorney Franz Borghardt. We're talking about Boylan Rue and this situation that involves not just noise ordinances, but potential ABC board violations as well. Franz, when we left off, we were kind of talking about Ron Haley wants to make this about the who and not the where. And I think the where here is very important.
Okay.
Because you have a subdivision directly behind here. I mean, you have the subdivision where if you are in the parking lot of Boylan Rue, you can throw a baseball and hit a house, a home. Like, you can, and I'm not talking about an apartment complex. I'm talking about, like, a subdivision of homes that has been there since, I don't know, late 70s, early 80s.
So the city is not saying you can't operate a restaurant there.
Correct.
What the city is saying is you need to turn the music down.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no, to be clear, there is no right. It's not a civil rights issue. There is no right to have loud music at all times of the day in a residential area. But that being said, I'm curious more about the liquor license violations.
Yeah.
Are those the ordinances violations? Is she pushing to have them? Because here's the thing. If you have a crime committed on premises, that goes before the ABC board.
Right.
And certain crimes on premises can get your license revoked.
Correct.
Now, right? So is it that they're selling to minors? Because that sounds horrible, right? Is it that she is using the noise ordinance violations as a lever to try to get their license revoked or to have them fined? Because if you take their license away, you're taking their rod and staff away.
Oh, totally.
Right.
Totally. But if you're taking away their ability to play loud music in a parking lot, then are you taking away the draw that brings people
well,
in?
Well, and then the question becomes is the reverse argument going to be you don't like our kind of music? You don't like us. You don't like our kind of music.
Well, and when
and it doesn't matter how loud it would be, you would never like our kind of music, and you don't like people
okay,
like
then
us.
Let's take that argument and put it to the
damn
test then.
I'm saying
I hear you, and I can definitely see where that argument would come into play, but let's put that argument to the test. Let's measure decibels.
Right.
At that point, it becomes, let's get actual measurements on this. And what I don't understand about this whole thing is that as much attention as this whole thing has garnered, we're still not to a point of resolution here, which kind of lends back to Paulo Messina is the attorney who resigned.
I'm very well. Oh, that's a shame. Paulo was a good guy.
So he said he was recorded saying, I don't think they honestly care. Okay. They're not doing their job. I can't force them to do their jobs. The only person that can force the police to do their job is the mayor president through Murphy Paul. And we've all seen what that's been. I'm just being honest. I'm airing out our dirty laundry of the city.
Let me go on record as saying Paulo Messina was an exceptionally good parish attorney that mm-hmm. served the city for several years.
Yeah.
He's not wrong. The full circle. You want to measure the decimals? Okay. You want to.
Decibels.
Decibels, whatever.
Thought we had Po' Boy Troy for a minute.
I'm just trying to, yeah. You want to measure that? Why don't we do that right after we handle some of these homicides? And by the way, the narcotics. It's like when there's a car burglary, and you're sitting there and you're like, "Are you going to swab for DNA inside of my car?" And the BRPD guy is like, "Yeah, I'll get right on that." They should do it,
right?
It's not that they don't care,
right?
It's like there's one of the listeners in the chat thread, which by the way. If you're not on the Facebook chat, you're missing out some fun times. Talked about triage, and that really is the right word.
Yeah, but triage.
Okay. We don't like it, but it's true.
No, I understand, but the person who has his car broken into, who asks for the DNA, you do that DNA or whatever you do, whatever it takes to solve that investigation leads you to solving other investigations.
Right.
We're told by police regularly that it's a very small fraction of our society that actually commits the crime. So if they're committing one, they're probably committing more than one.
So when citizens that live in a residential area are complaining about crime, mm-hmm. and in this instance, the crime is noise mm-hmm. violations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And generally, so you know. In my experience, when the police are called out to a noise ordinance violation, whether it's private or business, the police look at you and say, "Will you turn the volume down?" They right. don't just immediately, by the way, they don't generally just immediately cite you.
No, no, and that's the way it should be.
Right.
It's should offer, "Hey, guys, it's up too loud. Let's bring it down."
Yeah.
Now, if that business owner says, "Double bird fingers, we're not doing it," then what? Then the police were like, "We're going to go solve real crime."
If the business owner is like, "Officer, I thought you said you didn't want to have to come back out here."
Right.
I mean, it is what it is. I love it. I can't wait for her to be on the show.
Denise will be on Friday morning. Tentatively scheduled
I'm
for Friday
so
morning right
excited.
Now.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. No, but what she's going to spell out for us, Franz, is that this has been going on for some time, and she tried to solve a much simpler problem before it escalated to all these other things. That's it.
What do you mean, you people?
Which never came out of her mouth. And by the way, serving minors never was a part of this.
Well, no, that's what I was going through the analysis of. There's ways you get to the ABC board. One is crimes on premises. One is serving minors.
Right, right.
So it's good clarification. And I'm not trying to accuse them of doing something they didn't do. I wanted to get to the heart of why are we at the ABC board?
No, absolutely. And that's the one that immediately comes to mind, but that hasn't been a part of any of this story up until now. He's Attorney Franz Borghardt. We do Legally Served at this time every single week.